Welcome to the Autoimmune Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Tammy Anderson of ThrivingPrimallyWellness.com. I'm an adventure enthusiast, a survivor of an autoimmune health crisis, and a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who helps people who are struggling with chronic health conditions rebuild their health and reclaim their lives. I have created Autoimmune Connections to bring you hope and to empower you to take control of your own health and become the healthiest, happiest version of you. Each week, I will bring you the stories of real people who struggled with long-term chronic health issues or autoimmune conditions, who reclaimed their health and their lives by making changes to their diet and lifestyle after being failed by the conventional medicine sick care model. On occasion, I will bring you experts in the health and wellness space, often people who themselves reclaimed their health and their lives from the brink of disaster by taking their health into their own hands. The content of this show is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a substitution for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or to treat or cure any illness or medical condition. I will end each episode with a weekly nudge, or in other words, a little nudge of encouragement to try something new that will move you towards improved health. Happy journeys, everyone, and enjoy the show. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Autoimmune Connections podcast. Today with me on the show, I have my friend Rich. Rich is a guy who struggled for his entire life with issues with his immune system and long-term chronic fatigue. Rich is going to share with us today his lifelong struggle with a weakened immune system and chronic fatigue syndrome. He will share with us how these health issues impacted his family life and his ability to do things that he wanted to do. I really love this conversation with Rich, and I think it will resonate with a lot of people because it is such a common story in our world today. Rich, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. I'm honored to have you here today with me to tell your story. So let's start out by giving the audience some background on what was going on with your health and when it all started.
I guess I would say that I just labeled myself as somebody that was dealt a bad hand, that I just had a low immune system. I didn't really know that. I didn't notice that I was a person that didn't feel good. And it sounds funny. I wrote it off that I was normal. So I was always sick, always tired. I've always been fairly active exercise-wise, and I did feel better when I exercised. But even with exercising, there were always large blocks of time where I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't exercise. And when I did that, I kind of wrote that off to I overdid it with exercise, so it caught up to me and made me tired.
And you thought this is Rich's normal, and it didn't occur to you like other people are exercising, like maybe more than I am, and it's not impacting them. Did that? You just didn't think about that.
I think you are always maybe you notice it and you're jealous of it, but after a while, it becomes your norm, and
right,
it is what it is. I certainly never. While I wished that I was better, I didn't have any idea on how to change it at all.
So you just sort of, this is what I have to live with. This is Rich's norm.
Correct.
And how long did this go on? Like, when did issues with your health start, and what kinds of things were happening with your health?
Well, I would say that as far as how long it went on, when I was younger, I pretty much got strep throat every year. In sports, I always missed a few games a year, and it was typically when we went someplace that we got back at midnight or something, and I had to get up early for school. I was run down, and sure enough, I was sick. I would say the progressions of symptoms were slow, so it wasn't overly noticeable to me. In fact, as I got older, that became another sort of justification that this is just part of age. But other
right.
people did point it out to me. Family members would say, oh, Rich is sick again, or sorry I haven't been here, sorry I missed things. It certainly has impacted my, you know, social life and family, career, stuff like that.
Right. So your participation in family events, missed work, missed school when you were in high school, So you were just sick with like infections, like strep throat. What other kinds of things?
Oh, I always, if the flu was going around, I got the flu. If the cold went around, I got a cold. If I had a cold, a lot of times it turned into a sinus infection. And and when I say tired, I don't want to say I was dragging 24 hours a day. You know, there were times where I had good days and times where I had bad days. I actually had an expression where I would say to family, oh, sorry, you guys, I have it again. I'm not really feeling that good. And I don't really know what it was other than just I was run down and everybody was used to it. I missed some, just about every holiday that exists at some point in time, I missed it for sure.
Wow. And so this really impacted daily life with your family, participating actively in family activities. What about hobbies? You talked about exercise. You had a hard time maintaining exercise. Did you have any hobbies that it prevented you from enjoying?
I would say that it did sort of time-wise, because if I were to work and then exercise, there's no way I could add anything to that. If I exercised, that means I also had to lay down and rest. Or if I worked a long day, I didn't really do hobbies other than exercise. And I think it was mostly because I had to eliminate stuff time-wise. I just didn't feel good enough to do other things.
Sounds like you were just exhausted all the time, just a lot of fatigue.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you talked about how you thought that this, you know, this fatigue, this low immune system where you were getting sick all the time, you talk about how you just kind of chalked that up to initially just being your normal, or you started to get older, attributed it to age and getting older. So assuming that it was just your normal, did you seek out any medical treatments, or did you just kind of live with this?
I would say that as far as seeking treatment, certainly when I was younger, I went to the doctors and got the typical antibiotics. I've taken a lot of penicillin when I was younger, and then amoxicillin, which, footnote on that, probably reduced my immune system. As I got older, I did things like at one period of time, I was taking 10,000 units of vitamin D3. I was doing light therapy in the winter. I was tanning to get my vitamin D up. I did things like, quote unquote, listen to my body. When I was tired, I slept, which means I slept a lot. I would lay down when I was tired, you know, at times that I could. And yes, I tried things. I even remember at probably four or five different times over the last 10 years, starting a journal of when I felt good and when I didn't feel good, so that I could see if there was any kind of common thread. And,
oh, wow.
And I'm going to look for those too and see if I can find them. But yeah, I guess I didn't try. I didn't know what I was doing, so I didn't know what I was looking for. But those are the types of things that I've been through, especially most recently.
Okay. So do you remember finding any correlation in your journal about when you felt good and when you don't, or have you not really evaluated that?
Well, I would say that definitely winters in New England, from daylight savings to daylight savings, or you know, fall to spring, I definitely was affected by that. And well, it's nice to be able to identify that. Unfortunately, it wasn't just then. So that wasn't an easy answer that, oh, I'm just going to have rough winters. And frankly, when you live in New England, you don't want that to be an answer that half of your life you're not going to feel good. And I really didn't find anything. I think vitamin D3 helped me initially because it was a change to me, but none of those things that I did were a remedy at all.
Right. So you were really just trying to mask symptoms by taking supplements that you thought might help you not be exhausted. And, you know, living in New England, where we experience winter for 6 months of the year, it would make sense to try some vitamin D to, you know, increase your vitamin D levels and your immune function. But clearly that didn't work. So what was the turning point for you in deciding to try a more functional approach to healing that, you know, involved diet and lifestyle changes?
Well, it's a little bit of a different story. I think This year I was actually sick or not feeling good from Thanksgiving to New Year's. So pretty much the entire holiday season. And I signed up, as you know, I go to the same gym that you go to. And I signed up for a group program there, diet and exercise program at the gym. And I didn't really sign up for it because I thought this would be a way to make me feel better. I didn't equate it at all. Part of it was to show people at the gym that I was serious about my health. I had a little bit of I was self-conscious about the fact that I missed long periods of time at the gym. You know, I would go for 3 weeks and then I would be tired. So I would miss for a couple or miss for 2 months or, you know, my attendance didn't show that I was serious about it. And I think maybe I was nervous that other people were looking at me like I had no discipline or was lazy or whatever. Yeah,
so you were self-conscious. Did you, you also got injured fairly easily too, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess that's another category. I'm laughing because, you know, when I look, you don't realize it when you're going through it, but when you look back on it, it's so obvious. Yeah, it was almost like, I felt like when I walked through the door after being gone for 3 weeks or 3 months, it was like, oh, Rich is back. Oh, Rich is back. Because I had done it so many different times. But I will say this too. Another reason I signed up for that, for the group program, I wanted to be lighter. And I want to explain that because everybody wants to lose weight.
Right.
And part of why I wanted to be lighter had to do with the gym. I knew if I was lighter that I could jog better, that I could not only jump better, but I could land. And I say that laughing because that is part of it. I mean, even if you could jump, if it hurts to land, that's not a good thing. So, right. You know, you can do more pull-ups if you're lighter. Maybe it was an uneducated view of it, but I wanted to be lighter. And that was another reason why I signed up. And there were a couple sort of emotional things that happened when I signed up for it that were also helpful.
Tell us about that.
Well, when I went to the introductory meeting to explain sort of how the program was going to work, where you were the health coach, I walked in thinking that, okay, I'm going to get the guidelines of how to do this. And when I walked in the gym, my sister was there, and my sister was not a member of the gym. So it was really weird to walk in and see her there. And it was a 30-second delay in saying, oh, Carol's here. And so it kind of was, I don't know why, but a little bit emotional to say, wow, I can do this together with my sister. So that was nice. And my wife went with me, who was also not a member. And she was very supportive, which I know a lot of people don't have. I was very lucky with that part of it. And then lastly, just recently, my younger son, who, again, is in his early 20s and is just finishing up college, found out that he had celiac disease. And he was going to be he was traveling for a semester. So I wanted to use this as a way to learn to eat meals that were for us and meals that were for him. We just all ate healthy. And that was pretty, that was a little bit of a motivator too.
Yeah. So having a family member, especially your child, get a diagnosis like that, you realize that it's going to be a whole lot easier if you make it a family affair and everyone eats the same way, the same meal, rather than everybody having something different.
Exactly.
So, it was super awesome to see your wife, Sarah, you know, join right from the get-go into coming to the informational session where you learned, some background and got some basic nutrition information and education, because that family support is so important when you're making these types of life changes, because they really do involve everybody, like you were saying.
And, you know, I will say they're important. It's a total bonus. But I also think that we can all use it as an excuse, because there's plenty of times when, you know, I think I talked to you before that, you know, you go to a Super Bowl party and no one at the Super Bowl party thought of bringing healthy stuff. You know, you're going to get the typical store-bought vegetable platter with the ranch dip in the middle. But
right.
I remember going to a Super Bowl party this year and there literally was nothing there that was attractive to me. And sort of part of the group program that I was involved with in learning. And, you know, you can't use, not everybody's going to have that support. So you have to figure out ways around that too.
Exactly. I mean, it's your own self-discipline, right? It's your own decision that these are the things that I'm choosing not to eat because I'm working on building my health. And, you know, I'm only going to choose to eat foods that are going to make me feel good. So tell us about the group program that you did, and what were some dietary changes and some of the lifestyle things that you worked during this program?
So some of the guidelines were funny to me, not being educated. One was a suggestion not to weigh yourself every day or weigh yourself once a week or whatever, which I thought, what? Isn't that the point? And after it was explained, you know, you gave a good example that, yeah, we all want our pants to be smaller and we all want a certain number on the scale, but we're all made differently. And you can be skinny and be crazy unhealthy. And that made sense to me. And it was good because I did start measuring myself on how I felt and not the number. And frankly, by doing that, my pants got looser.
Right. So you had that awesome side effect of getting healthier, of, you know, your pants did change size and the number on the scale did change over time. I know you've lost some pretty significant amount of weight since you've been working on these changes. But the focus was really on how do you feel in your body, as opposed to a number on a magic square box on the bathroom floor. So what were some things that you removed from your diet, or what are some things that you added to your diet during this transformation?
Ironically, removing things, especially being involved in a group program that had a coach, made it simpler. So it's like the little bit more focus I had, as long as there was good stuff within the allowable categories, it kind of made it easier. So some of the things that I cut out actually made it a little bit simpler for me. It was less to think about and made me a little bit more focused. So I didn't eat any dairy, no legumes, no beans, no sports drinks or soda, no alcohol. And that was suggested guideline. I definitely want to talk about that because I think anytime someone hears this, that's them. They say, oh, no, I can't do that. I actually tricked myself. I made my quote-unquote drink each night by having a shot of apple cider vinegar on ice with a little bit of water added to it, and I sipped on it, and that was my evening drink and kind of helped me because I was somebody who always had a couple of cold beers while I, you know, sort of slowed down at night. No vegetable oil.
That's pretty creative. That's a pretty creative way
to really
sort of ditch a habit.
Yeah, it worked. And then pretty much as far as eliminating things, nothing that was processed or packaged. So, you know, I think you gave a good description that really most of the middle of the grocery store was eliminated. And then the things that were encouraged as far as lifestyle habits were definitely a focus on getting a good night's rest. So 8 hours sleep was a guideline. Reducing stress. And one of those things that kind of goes with getting 8 hours of sleep was a suggestion not to be exposed to any blue light an hour before going to bed, so laptops or cell phones or anything. And that's a tough one for everybody, I'm sure.
It sure is. Yeah, that's probably the most difficult part of it that a lot of people have is, you know, we're so addicted to our phones and our computers that it's so hard to put them aside and say goodnight to them an hour before we go to bed.
Yeah, I mean,
but that blue light is so disruptive to our sleep patterns. You know, it stimulates the production of serotonin in your brain, which is the hormone that your body is supposed to start producing when it's time to wake up and start your day. So it really confuses your brain into thinking that it's not time to sleep when it is time to sleep.
And that was a new one to me, I have to admit, and it was helpful. Even if it was just not thinking about that email or not thinking about that text, that, you know, you allowed yourself to shut down. And the other thing that was suggested was 30 minutes of exercise a day. And frankly, I mentioned that I was sick from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I thought that this program, that 30-minute requirement, after a couple of weeks, I'd start doing that. I would be jogging. And then by the time that it was a five-week program, that I would be up to doing 30 minutes of running or going to the gym, counting the gym as that. And although I did go to the gym one or two times a week, for that 5 weeks, that 30 minutes of exercise for me was walking. And I'm so glad that that was allowed, because for me, that was walking with my dog and I couldn't have done more. And the fact that it allowed me to sort of transition into that and say that you know, there are different kinds of exercise that qualify for different people, and it was more of a habit than what specifically it was. It was great. It worked well. It was nice that was, it didn't have to be somebody yelling at me while I was doing push-ups.
Right. Well, you know, I think we have been sent this message, and, you know, again, through media and, you know, just our modern culture, is that exercise doesn't count unless you're beating crap out of yourself, right? So walking is so undervalued and underappreciated in, you know, by our culture right now. And it is such a great exercise and a really awesome place for people like you to start who are struggling with health issues and fatigue. Probably the worst thing that people who are, you know, struggling with their health could do is to go out and join some really high intensity workout program that's going to beat their body down even more than it already is.
Exactly. And I kind of want to tie that in too, because, you know, everybody has to do time management. We have to walk our dog because we have a dog that we can't just let him go. So the only time that really consistently we did it was in the morning. So I made that my 30 minutes. And that 30 minutes, a couple of things happened. One is, because I wasn't eating a bunch of crap the night before, I woke up hungry. And then I would go out on my walk before I had breakfast, and the walk would clear my head. And then coming back from the walk, I was really hungry. And I, one of the struggles with this for me, or habit changes, was making breakfast. I was a go to work and grab a coffee and cookies on the way to work type of person. And so
you and about half the population of America, or maybe 3/4 of the population of America.
I thought that oatmeal raisin cookies were good for me.
Surprise.
So seriously, that tied in a few things. It was like, I didn't like breakfast in the past because I wasn't hungry. And the reason I wasn't hungry was because I ate a bunch of junk the night before. And I was stressed out, so I needed to get to work quickly. And now, you know, if you start kind of tying things together, being hungry when I got back from my walk, even though I still didn't want to make breakfast, I was hungry and sort of had to. And that's probably been my biggest habit changes, is making breakfast in the morning. And after you do it for a while, I don't want to say, I guess it does become easier. I'd still like to just blow out the door in the morning, but I can't because I'm hungry, and I now have a habit of that's good because I eat good stuff before I go.
Because it becomes a habit and just a part of the way you do things. So when you made all these different dietary changes, lifestyle changes, you're exercising in a way that's working for you and your body, how soon was it that you started noticing health improvements, and what were those improvements?
Okay, so how soon was it? So I didn't get positive feelings right away. In fact, I felt, I want to say awful, but I had a headache for the first week. And I'm sure part of that was coffee and part of it was sugar. I wasn't a big coffee drinker. I usually would have one coffee at home, or one or two coffees at work. So 2 to 3 coffees a day. Probably the worst part for me wasn't so much that I was having coffee, was that I was putting a couple of glugs of flavored creamer in it. That's not even real food. So I didn't feel good at first. And that made me mad, because I realized that my body wasn't used to good food, and that was sort of embarrassing. So I took that as I'm having results, because my body hates it when it can't get bad stuff. So it was a little while, you know, it was a week or so before I started feeling better. And this, all of these categories have transitions to them. I mean, the first week is fairly easy with food because, you know, you have guidelines of eating protein, a vegetable, and a healthy fat with each meal. You get some ideas in your head, and the first week is pretty great, except you run out of food at day 4 because you're horrible at grocery shopping. And you think, oh, boy, I have nothing left. And then when you get good at grocery shopping, you find that you've eaten the same 4 things or the same 6 things. And now you realize, if I had an idea of what to make next, I would do it. And all of those things sort of tie in with being part of a program or having a coach you can rely on are huge, because we all do it. You eat healthy for 3 days, and then you're sick of the 3 things that you're familiar with that are healthy and okay to eat. And because you're not educated, you fall right off the wagon and, oh, you eat a whole row of cookies or something. And it's really just one. It's education, I guess.
And you're trying to guide yourself through these lifestyle changes, and there's so much misinformation out there that people don't really know what changes to make or whether what they're doing is impactful. So they try it for a few days, and you said you had headaches for the first week. So a lot of people will throw in the towel if they don't have somebody that they can be accountable to and that can help guide them in making those transitions.
The accountability was huge. Not only, well, other people participating in the group, we all were like-minded. We all wanted to do well. Having other recipe ideas was good. You know, having a coach that you'd say, hey, what about this? Can I do this? And you would say, not recommended because of this. Or why don't you try this as a substitute? That was so good.
Thank you. I'm glad that was helpful for you. And, you know, it really does speak to the fact that we build these lifestyle habits. You've talked about they weren't easy. It wasn't easy to make these changes. And tell my clients that it's not easy to make these changes. It is hard work, but the hard work really pays off in the long run. And I know you've had several improvements in your health. So talk about how that hard work has paid off for you now.
I'm like a giddy little kid with the question, because it is huge. I feel like somebody washed my windshield, and if you have a dirty windshield and somebody comes along and squeegees it, I can't tell you how it feels. And I know that's kind of a vague description, but
I think that's a great analogy.
I'm 29 pounds lighter, which, again, whether we're going by the number on the scale isn't the point, but that obviously affects everything that I do. All the activities are easier. You know, just the math on any kind of activity makes that just basic physics, I guess. I do have to give you an example. I mentioned this to you before that last Saturday, first mowing I had this year in my yard, and I was out doing yard work, probably went out at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, a bunch of raking, you know, sweeping, typical picking up type things. And at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, my wife came out and said to me, you better come in and lay down for a couple of hours if we still plan on going out tonight. And I remember turning to her and thinking, that isn't me anymore. I don't have to do that. Don't you remember? And I actually came in the house and said, you know, I feel I could go for a run before we leave, or I could go for a bike ride. I'm fine. I feel good. But I wanted to mention that because that's how much of a habit or how much it impacted me. And I guess my family too. So that was brand new. And I think you're probably smiling listening to this, but there have been two specific weekends where I literally have sent you a message directly to you, you know, as a coach saying, hey, Saturday, and I'm feeling incredible because it didn't used to be that way. I would have to schedule one or two things so that by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I was inside laying down, and I never went skiing on Sunday. I wouldn't go Sunday because I'd be too tired for work.
Or work the next week.
A lot of improvements.
Wow. So this lifelong, really pretty debilitating and life-altering fatigue is just virtually gone. And you know, your wife, who you've been married to for 28 years, would have to come out and tell you that you'd better come in and lay down and rest or else you won't be able to function for your night out. That is pretty telling about how severe this really was for you and how much a part of your life it was. And now, too, like you said, it's like somebody cleaned your windshield off. You didn't even have any concept of what it felt like to feel good, did you?
No, not really. And, you know, even though I knew eating healthy would be obviously good for you, I think I was so intimidated by learning the information. I definitely never equated food to medicine, even though I just said the same thing, that I never put that together. I just knew that I was frustrated by trying to learn it. So yeah, I didn't know my normal was, and think of how many other people out there that have things, whether it's just the blahs or specific things that are really controlling their lives, and they're taking medicine for it, or they're getting advice that to eat things that are actually hurting them instead of helping them. And we all know people like that.
Absolutely. I know so many of those people. And it's hard for people because people really have these preconceived notions about that whole idea. You just mentioned food is medicine because of our, you know, culture, that the whole concept of food is medicine is just a bunch of woo woo. What did you think about that prior to implementing these changes?
Well, I guess I'll go back to what I just said. I think if I saw somebody bringing their own salad dressing to a restaurant, that was a little over the top for me. But again, that was just being uneducated. You know, I've learned now actually how to find good food at a restaurant, which is kind of nice. Did I think it was kind of cuckoo? I suppose parts of me, but I was actually a little bit jealous about people who knew about it, because I think, like a lot of people, you go out and try to learn and you do something for a few days and then you learn that what you're doing is incorrect because you read something different, and it's just overwhelming amount of information. So parts of me thought it was crazy, but then I did have respect for the people that knew about it, and certainly have a lot more now.
And saw their results and thought, well, there must be something to it if they're doing so well, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say to somebody, you know, another person who's struggling with some chronic health issues and they're fed up with that cycle of trial and error of being sick and trying different practitioners and trying different conventional medicine treatments? You know, what would you tell them based on your own experience?
Well, so to me, this is, you know, sort of like success 101. You know, if you want to succeed at something, find someone else who's already done it and just do what they did. Now, there's a little bit of a side note to that, because that sort of intimates that you just go off and do that on your own. And that's difficult because you don't really know. You need someone to guide you through it. And that would be my advice would be, whether you do it one-on-one sort of secretly on your own and you do a little introductory program, or you really go all in and do a crazy serious program, that's whatever the level is, or you want to see if you can find a group program to do it in, anything like that, just follow us. You know, having a health coach, it was huge to be able to call you or message you or just have that access of, you know, you've already made the mistakes. Why should I make them when I have someone I can follow? That'd be my advice.
That's great advice. And you're a business guy, so that's sort of like business 101 too, right? If you want to be successful, find somebody who's successful doing what you're doing and ask them for advice rather than somebody who's not successful doing what you're doing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Great advice. All right. So thank you so much, Rich, for joining me on my show today. I really appreciate you sharing your story and talking about how these holistic lifestyle changes have really turned your life around and given you a better quality of life than you've ever experienced.
It was great talking to you, and I hope that even just one person benefits from this. And I appreciate what you did for me as well.
Oh, thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing more about your own improvements as you continue on your journey to building your health, because I know you're still going strong. And, you know, you give me frequent updates, which is just thrilling to me. I love to hear how my work is impacting other people and just improving the health and quality of life of other humans. It's just such an awesome thing.
Excellent. Life is short. We only go around once.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Rich.
All right, Tammy. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. In today's episode, Rich talks about how he replaced a really unhealthy habit, which was really a nightly ritual for him, of his nightly alcoholic beverage while he sat and read the paper or vegged out in front of the TV. He replaced it, remember, with a small glass of apple cider vinegar over water and ice cubes. For this week's Weekly Nudge, I encourage you to examine your habits. Do you have any unhealthy habits that are part of your daily ritual that are preventing you from being the healthiest, happiest version of you? If so, I encourage you to examine those habits and think about ways that you could replace those habits with something more positive that will lead you into the direction of a happier, healthier life. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Autoimmune Connections podcast. Because I am truly grateful and honored to have you as my listener, I will be doing a giveaway at the start of episode 9. Two lucky winners will receive a copy of Rob Wolf's new book, Wired to Eat, and two winners will receive a copy of Dr. Terry Wall's amazing new cookbook, The Walls Protocol, Cooking for Life. To enter this giveaway, I am asking you to do two things. One, leave me a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast site you're listening on. I look forward to hearing your feedback.
Your reviews really do help and will help me achieve my goal of making it to the top of the charts and make the new and noteworthy section on iTunes. This in turn will help me reach and impact more people who are suffering from chronic health conditions or autoimmune diseases. And two, visit my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com, and leave me your email to claim your free gift of a comprehensive, color-coded food list that I have developed that you can use to get started on improving your health right away, and also so that I can update you on upcoming podcast episodes and blogs, and where you can find some links to some of my favorite things. Finally, you can find links to all of the weekly shows on my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.